Welcome to the Hill this morning. Good morning, everybody. I ask you to take God's word, if you will. Let's look this morning at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to look at verse 4 for the message today. We're in our series, and we're just glad to have all of you here, especially those of you maybe for your first time that you're with us in our new schedule of services. It's just great to see all of you here. But if this is your first time, we're in this series of faith, family, and friends. And this is designed, the series is, just to stir us up again, which is one of the things that the Bible talks about, is the need in each of us to be stirred up from time to time, to the idea of just stirring up the coals and repositioning them for better heat and to keep the fire going. And there's a need from time to time just to stoke the flame in each of us. And getting ready for our fall season, and we're just beginning life groups again. And so the whole thing is about encouraging you and challenging you, number one, to make worship once every 7 days a part of your life, because it's what the Lord initially wanted. Now today we're going to be talking about family, and I want you to think about what God says about shepherding the heart of children. And this is important. I don't, you know, even though both of my sons are adults and are out on their own and taking care of themselves, I have grandchildren, and so the need for this message is as fresh for me as it was when both the boys were at home, but also for the fact that I shepherd so many young families who are starting their homes and bringing children into the world. And it's very important at this point that we think about shepherding and how you do parenting from a biblical perspective. How do you do that? What does God say about the home? Well, I want you to look at the first insight in your life point outline, if you will. You should have gotten one of these as you came in this morning, and this will help you just to hang on to the thoughts we're going to give today. The first insight with regards to parenting is this. Many parents think that the number one goal of parenting is for their child to like them. It's not. That's not the number one goal. That's not God's desire. See, the Bible says that the heart, and we talked about this last week, the heart of a child, the heart of an individual, is the control center for life. It's out of the heart, out of the heart of my grandkids, out of the heart of my sons, that every act, every decision, and every determined thing that they determined they were going to do, all of that came out of their heart. It came out of the core of their being. That's the reason why last week, you remember, we were looking at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, and God warns us, he gives us his insight, and he says, above everything else, above all else, guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. And then God is faithful to tell us what the condition of our heart is. From time to time, we forget that, although it's readily apparent in our lives. The condition, if you're raising small children, if you've just had a little one maybe come into your home, they're so cute, they're so cuddly now. But God says they have a heart condition that is frightening. Absolutely frightening. Because the Lord says in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, out of men's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Where does that all come from? He says it comes from the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so when we talk about parenting from a biblical perspective, I have to realize that as a born-again child of God, if Catherine and I were still of the age that we were bringing children into the world, even though we're both born again and we know the Lord, every child we have comes into this world lost from Lord, lost from God. Their heart is black. And what God is saying is the number one goal for me and for you as a parent is to lovingly parent that child. Liking it has very little to do with it on their part. And so here's the truth I want you to see. And this is just the truth. It's not an insight. It's the truth. Loving parenting requires a great deal that your children will not like. Guaranteed. They're not going to like it, but they need it. They need it. And so let me just break this down in a couple of thoughts this morning that I want us to see. Number one, what is God's pattern for parents? What is his pattern? Well, Ephesians 6, verse 4, let's read that. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Now, this is without a doubt the key verse in all 66 books of the Bible. This is the key verse of God's design for parenting. If you want to know what parenting is about, if you want to know if you're parenting, here it is. This is the one. And what God says to us is that what he's going to teach us about parenting is not going to be supported. You're not going to find it backed up in the average child psychology or family life class at your average university around. It's not going to be promoted. It's not going to be pushed. It's going to be downsized. And so you just need to kind of understand that. You're not going to get this supported and backed up whenever you go to a basic school of higher learning if they're not backed up or backing up the Word of God. Parenting God's way, the Bible says, is unique and distinct from worldly parenting. God says, the way I want you to parent, the way you need to parent that child is totally different from what the people you live among is going to tell you. And as a child of God, mom and dad, you need to understand that. Listen to Leviticus chapter 18. I thought this is remarkable. As they were getting ready to go into Canaan, this is what God told them. He said, "You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments, keep my statutes, and live according in accord with them." So what God is saying to me as a parent and a grandparent, what he's saying to you is, he's simply saying, don't look around at your average child psychology class to understand how to raise a child. Because they're going to tell you how to raise a child according to worldly standards. But God says, I have my own standards. So here's the insight I want you to notice. Worldly parenting, if you want to know what the difference is, worldly parenting is behavior modification. But biblical parenting is redemption. It is redemptive. And it goes for the heart. Do you know what the first thing is that we need to teach, that I need to teach my grandchildren who haven't come to faith in the Lord? The first thing that you need to teach your young child, the very first thing when they can begin to understand it, is they need to be taught, you need to get down on their level and teach them that they are wicked at their heart and that they are sinful and that they're alienated from the God who made them and who loves them. That's a message that needs to be gotten into every child. They need to know, my grandchildren need to know, little Ava and Elena and the others in Oklahoma. I need to teach them at appropriate times that something needs to happen inside of them to change their heart. They need to have a fundamental change on the inside. They need to understand that there needs to come a time where they bow their knee in submission to God, and they haven't done that yet. And that needs to take place. That's what they need to know from somebody who loves them and cares for them. So here's the next insight I want you to see. Biblical parenting sees the heart of every child as a battlefield of conflict between sin and righteousness. And as you're parenting, as you're grandparenting, You just need to know that's what's going on in your child and in your grandchild until they come to the face of to the point of receiving Christ. Now, you know, if you're like me, you have those moments as a parent. I certainly have those moments even as a grandparent where I just feel inadequate. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Just feel inadequate. You say, you know, I don't think I'm doing real good at that. What I want you to know is feeling inadequate is not saying as much about your parenting skill as it is saying a lot about the condition of the children that you have. And I want you to understand that. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, parenting a heart that is lost to God is a big thing. It is absolutely huge. You and I are seeking to control something that is absolutely hideous at its core. And everything that we see that is wrong in our world, everything that we see of people walking up and just cold-bloodedly shooting police officers and killing them dead while they're putting gasoline in their car, do you know what that comes from? That comes from a black heart. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It comes from a black heart. And every child comes into this world is able to become that. They're able to become like ISIS. They're able. It's all there. And so here's the next insight. The problem with our children is a wicked heart. And none of our children are going to outgrow their depravity. None of them. You don't outgrow it. There's no behavior modification for this. The primary goal of parenting is not to control your child. But we begin to think that. The primary goal is to not make them polite. It is not to make your child moral. The goal of biblical parenting is to see them saved. The goal is for them to live sanctified life, that they live a life of obedience to the ways of Jesus. That's what you want. You want to see them learning how to pray. You want to see them getting on their face before God. You want to see them crying out to God for Him to help them. The issue is always the issue of the heart. And if I don't understand that, if you don't understand that as a parent, then you are parenting like the world parents, and you're into behavior modification. The issue is the heart. It is the heart and the soul of the child. You know, When two children get into a fight, I thought about this. When two kids, because I've had this happen, get into a fight over who gets to play with that toy. How many times have I heard, "They're not fair. I should have it. It's mine. It ought to be mine." Most of us as parents or as grandparents we'll break up the argument or the fight. What's our normal thing? We'll say, who had it first, right? That is so behavior modification. Who had it first? It's not the issue. It's not the issue. That's not shepherding the heart. The issue in Christian parenting is not justice. The issue in Christian parenting is character. It is character of the child. Both of those kids, my grandkids, your kid, grandkids, whatever, when they're in this argument over a toy, are displaying hardness. What they're basically saying to each other is, I don't care that you want it. I don't care. I don't give a flying whatever. I want it, and I want it right now. I really don't care if you cry or you whine. I don't care how you feel. It's my time. I want it, and I want it right now. Now, you bring that over into the office or into the home or whatever, that's bad, isn't it? And yet that's exactly what happens. Outside of the Lord Jesus, our children are depraved to the core. And you can't ever forget that. Until you see them come to Christ. They need to be saved. They need to be forgiven by the Lord. And they need to be sanctified. They need to learn to chase after the Holy One and to want to do what's right. And you want to develop character in them. How do you develop character? Because I said we'd do this last week. How do you develop character in a child? Now watch this. Here it is. You develop character in a child by shaping the will. That's what the Bible teaches us. Let me I want you to go back to our text, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. I want you to look at these two key words. He says, parents, I want you to bring them up in the discipline. And that's number one. That's the first word, discipline. So when I am bringing up grandkids, when I'm bringing up children, I am to bring them up. That's why I'm talking about bringing up kids. You bring them up, number one, in discipline. And I think there's an order here. And the Greek word is paideia. And I want you to get with me now. I'm not a horticulturist. I like to work in the yard and do all that, but I mean, it's not going to be a show place. But hey, you know, getting in the dirt and everything, that's okay. But when the Lord loves husbandry, is what Scripture says. Old Testament teaches that. God loves husbandry. And when you talk about discipline, the Greek word is paideia, and it's really a husbandry term. Somebody who works in the dirt. And maybe sometimes you've seen on the side of a house, maybe on the end or on a wall, a fenced wall or whatever, you'll see somebody, you know, maybe plant like a pyracantha bush or whatever kind of plant it might be. And they want it to grow up the side of that wall and they want it to take on a certain shape. And so the gardener, they plant it right there and then they nurture that and they get it growing. And as it begins to grow up, if they want it to take a certain shape, they bend those limbs and they may even tack them down. And then whatever is on that plant that they don't want, they snip it off. They prune it, right? In order to get it the way they want it to get. Okay, all of that is in discipline. When he says, train up, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord, he's saying, bring them up in this bending and this chastening, this clipping off. Bring them up in that. Train your child like a plant that you're wanting to grow up a wall with a certain design that's going to require pruning and bending the branches and fastening it down and cutting off whatever is not needed. All right, now here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. To discipline a child means to force conformity of the heart and the life of that child to the ways of God and his truth. How do you force conformity in a child? Two ways: punishment and reward. Punishment and reward. Now, why does God say do that? Why would the Lord say that? Why would he say punishment and reward? Why would he say discipline? Why would he say forced conformment? Why would he say that? Look at the truth in your outline. Self-will rules the heart of every child. And breaking self-will in your child is responsible parenting. If I want to raise up a child that's not going to be a crook, if I want to raise up a child that's going to be a responsible mom or a responsible dad, that's going to live a life that's going to bring honor to the Lord and is going to be a blessing to me, if I want to do that, then at the early part of their life, I've got to make sure as a parent, I break their self-will. Not their spirit, but their self-will. All right? Look at the next phase in Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And the Greek word there is nuthesia, which simply means a verbal warning. And so you have this forced conformity, you have the pruning that takes place because of discipline and pain and whatever, but then you have this verbal warning that I'm supposed to give to my children, and so are you. And that is where you get down to their level and you teach them verbally, coming out of your mouth, that self-will behavior in the family is going to bring pain. When you behave in self-will, it won't go well for you. And what daddy and mommy are trying to teach you is that God is our creator, and we are in his world. And you have a rebellious spirit toward mom and dad. That's because your heart is black until you ask Jesus to save you. Daddy's heart was black until I asked Jesus to save me. Mama's heart was black until Jesus saved her and changed us and gave us a new heart. And now we live in obedience to him because this is his world and we belong to him. And we have this internal battle with sin, but sin always brings about death and destruction. And we have learned that God loves us and cares for us, and we have given our heart and our life to him. And our whole desire for you is that you know him too. And we want to see you ask Christ into your heart. And I'm doing this. I am bringing pain into your life when you disobey me because I want you to understand if you never ask Christ into your heart, God has something even more painful, and that's called hell. And I want you to go to heaven with mom and dad. And so that's what a parent does. You know, it is not easy work raising a child. Would you say amen to that? Amen. It is not easy work. And the reason is because there's a great resistance. I was amazed. The Minnesota Crime Commission several years ago printed this out. I don't even know what caused them to do that. I just found this. And I'm like, this came from state government? I want you to listen to this. Minnesota Crime Commission. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmates, their toys, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants, and he seizes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals. He has no knowledge and no developed skill. This means that all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy every want, every child would grow up to be a criminal, a thief, and a killer. That came from state government. Isn't that amazing? I was like, dude, that'll preach. Man. Now, don't you look at this next insight. Every child is totally depraved, and changing a child at their core is impossible for any parent without God's help. You see, I was thinking, some of you probably this morning or some of these services, there's going to be somebody here who's got a two-year-old, and they're thinking, oh, dear God, mine is double depraved. I already know it. I've got a child that's going to be so challenging. And I want you to understand this. I think parenting and doing it right is absolutely impossible on our own. I just think it is. And the only way that biblical parenting works is that you stay on your knees. Because parenting is heart work. It's a work of the heart. And when you stay on your knees and you invite God into this situation, then God does the rest. God can break your child when you can't, and he can open their heart. But you've got to know where the battle is. And that's what it means. And so let me close with this. Let me talk about the battle that every parent must win. The battle you must win. Now, I want to talk about the twos, okay? We have, the least one of Aaron and Kristen's is coming into this era, the two years of age. And one of the things we've begun to notice is, I think she's at 15 months. Okay, so it's a little bit shy. But, you know, our children, grandchildren are exceptional, so some of them may come a little early. And so, you know, self-will is already starting to rise up, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why they call it terrible twos, you know. And so here's the insight I just want to give you. Shaping the will of a two-year-old requires loving, firm discipline. And discipline is not fun. It is not fun. But that's what parenting is about. Hebrews 12, verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable at the time, but it's painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So disciplining a child right now is not fun. It's not enjoyable. You may doubt yourself sometime, but he says once you do it, once you give yourself to it, the end result is going to be joy. And you're going to be able at some point to look back and say, oh, I'm so glad that I just trusted God in this. And here's the insight I want you to see. Discipline leads to character development. You cannot build and develop character in a child or a grandchild without shaping the will. Now, when I talk about shaping the will, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making the will of a child respect authority. It is absolutely critical if you want to see your child or your grandchild come to faith in Christ. A child will never be properly raised until the lines of authority in your home are established and unbreakable. They must adhere to your authority. And that is a battle you cannot lose. Let me give you a true story. There's a mother who went to a family therapist. She had a 13-year-old son who was rebelling in every way conceivable. He would be at 13 years old. He's out to 2 a.m. in the morning. She's absolutely not in control. He is in trouble at school, and in her own words, my son is on a one-way course to self-destruction. The therapist asked her, he or she, didn't say which one, could she remember where this all started with her son? And she said, I know exactly when it started. She said, at the age of 2.5 to 3, okay? We're talking about a 3-year-old child. At the age of 3, I carried him to his room one night and I put him in the crib and he spit in my face. She told him not to do that again. So she wiped her face off and she tried to explain again why he shouldn't, and he spit in her face a third time. She didn't know what to do, so she just left and ran out of the room. True story. He spat on the back of the door as she went out of the room. She said, I never had the upper hand with him after that night. Do you understand what happened? That mother lost the battle of authority with her 3-year-old, and she never got it back. Listen to what God says. This is what God says. Nobody knows the heart like God does. Proverbs 19:18. He says, discipline your son. Lord, when do I discipline him? In the early years. Why, Lord? While there is hope. If you don't discipline him, forced conformity, chastening, pruning, if you don't in his early years, you will ruin him. That's from our Creator. Here's the insight. Discipline is required for willful disobedience. You know why? Because willful disobedience is rebellion to authority. And that's our main problem with God, right? That's where we all need to be saved, right? Huh? We're in rebellion against him. Willful disobedience is not childish irresponsibility, and I've got to understand what the difference is. You know, sometimes I make a mistake of thinking that irresponsibility is rebellion. It's not. You know, irresponsibility is when they leave their bikes out in the rain. You know, they just forgot them, or they leave messes all over the house, or running through the house screaming and yelling, or never flushing. How many times do I have to tell you? You know, it's just childish irresponsibility. That's not as rebellion as much as it is immaturity. Let me give you an example of this. I thought this was excellent. I mean, in all this reading, I found the account, this dad had a 2.5-year-old son. And dad was overheard this conversation. that was taking place between the 2.5-year-old and his mother and the man's wife. And his wife told his son to do something. And the little boy said, no. His dad said, that was his first mistake. Then she told him to do it again. And he had the audacity to say, don't talk to me like that. He said, that was his second mistake. But said his third mistake was that I was in the next room hearing everything. And he said, I walked in to the room, and he said, I walked up to my 2.5-year-old, and I got down on my knees where we were looking, eyeball to eyeball. And he said, I looked at him, and I reached out with my 3 fingers, and I squeezed his trapezius muscle until his brain said, that hurts. And knowing that I had his complete attention, I said, young man, don't you ever, ever talk to your mother like that again. Do you understand me? He said his face turned white, his eyes got big, and he looked at me and shook his head and he said, yes. And his dad said, yes, what? He said, yes, sir. And he said, that's right. And he said, then I spanked him. He said, the reason I did is because he knew he had done wrong. And just because he agreed that he had done wrong did not compensate for the fact that he had crossed the line. He needed a spanking. And he got it. He said, just thinking about it makes me want to do it again. It's a great dad. This man's got a lot of insight. But you know, this is what he said. He said, why did I do that? He said, because at 3 years of age, I was making an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 18-year-old. And he said, I was dealing with willful disobedience in the heart of my son, and dealing with it mattered. And his mom and me had to win that battle that day. We could not lose that battle. And he said, we didn't. We never gave ground on any of those battles. It was absolutely imperative. Here's why some of you maybe here this morning will not shape your child's will. And I hope there's nobody here, but there may be. And it's because you've heard it so much. You are afraid that you're going to lose the love of your child. I want you to know there are some parents who have lost the respect and the love of their children. There's 2 reasons that that happens. The number one reason is because mom and dad did not discipline them. And that was already found out in a study that was done. But the other reason is because they were afraid. They were afraid that if they did that, they would lose their respect. And that's just simply not going to happen. You lose the relationship with your child, you lose their respect, you lose their love when either, number one, you don't discipline, or number two, you abuse them. And loving discipline is never abuse. You don't beat a child. You never beat a child. That's abusive. And that's not loving discipline, is it? Huh? And so that's not what I'm even talking about. The psychology department of the University of California studied over 1,700 middle-class boys and their families from pre-adolescence to young adulthood. Those families who remained close after the child left home were the homes where strong discipline, not oppressive, but firm discipline was administered. The parents who refrained from discipline rather than being close had conflict. Why? Because they never disciplined the heart of the child. And it's black. So here's the last insight. Encourage the spirit of your child, but break self-will, and you'll keep the heart of your child. And I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Stacy's going to come. I want us to have an opportunity this morning. I want to give you an opportunity just to say yes. My prayer had been, Lord, I know that I'm supposed to offer an invitation this morning. But I want to know, God, what do you want in this? And I wait so often, so many times, for the Lord just to speak to my heart and just exactly what he's looking for. And here's the thing. I'm just believing this morning, my sense is that there are families and there are parents that are here that you feel like you've lost the heart of that child. And I want you to know that God cares about that. And if there's a parent or a grandparent that you yearn for the heart of your child, you yearn for God. Maybe they're out from under your influence at home, but God is able to bring them to brokenness. God is able to discipline them where you didn't or couldn't. And parenting is not an exact science, and we make mistakes and we mess up, but we need him. And so this morning, I just want to invite you, maybe some of you just want to come and just stand here for a son, a daughter, a grandchild, that you just feel like I've just lost their heart. And I want to see them live a life of submission to the Lord. Maybe you're a young parent this morning, and maybe you've got a child in arms, and you want to capture the heart of that baby from the very beginning. Well, it's going to start earnestly about 24 months, 24 to 36. That's where it's going to really get started. That's when that self-will is going to be exerted, and you've got to win that battle. And so if that's your heart desire, just to be the parent God wants you to be, I want to invite you just to come, bring that little bit in your heart, and let's just stand here and let's invite the Lord in this. Let's stand together. Right now, you come this morning. The altar's here. I want you to come quickly. We're going to pray together.